The fact that we woke up this morning should make us glad. The fact that we are the beneficiaries of the salvation Jesus provided for us by his grace, we should be glad. Gladness doesn't come from how much you have in your bank account, doesn't come if you look like a movie star. It comes from a settled relationship between us and God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, let's raise the roof and tell him how he has made us glad.
I will.
A time of need for all of us. And as we walk through these times following the Lord Jesus Christ, it's up to us then to surrender to Him and His will. So would you sing this next song, please, very prayerfully?
Thank you.
Good singing. You may be seated. Kristen, thank you. Thank you. For our responsive reading today, bring me to the responsive reading, Em. Thank you. I want to thank Emily and Andrew also for doing what they do. Otherwise, I would have been running back and forth all day today. So we appreciate their help. yeah, give them a hand. And believe me, I'm glad Kristen's here because you don't want to hear me sing, okay? This is a reading that I think we need to take to heart. We always should take heart to the scripture. Paul is writing to the church at Colossae. And, wherever people are together, you're going to have different opinions. You're going to have differences in thought. And I'm not talking about on salvation necessarily. I'm talking about on just different issues. And God knows that. And God wants us to be compassionate with one another. He wants us to forgive one another. I thought this would be an appropriate reading as we come into the text today. It's a little bit long, so would you read it with me? Here we go. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another in any way you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace, and be thankful. We need to hear this today, right? Let's just read this again, right? Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus and give thanks to God the Father through him. Whoa. In whatever we do. One of the things over the years that has been instilled on in me as I've gone through discipleship, formal training and all is that there's no such thing as a hidden sin. Okay? You think you may be able to hide sin. We do that in our own sin nature. Remember when Adam sinned, what did he do? He hid. He hid. And God knows, right? He knows. And I say that to say this, that you know, whatever we do, if we do it with gratefulness and gratitude to God, and we follow the guidelines of Scripture, we're going to do the right thing. It may not be the popular thing, but it will be the right thing. And sometimes that goes against even our own understanding. Remember Proverbs last week? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and with all your life. Lean not on what? Your own understanding. So we need to keep that in prayer as we go forward. You're going to hear me say this again and again. I'm going to repeat it in the message. But whenever we choose to react to something, you know what I mean by react? Just let your mouth fly in response to something. We're going to be wrong. And I'm not saying you may not, it's bad to get angry. Anger is a good thing, can be a good thing, but it's got to be channeled in the right way. But when we step back and come before God and seek his will and then respond in a way that pleases him, then we're going to do the right thing. And we're going to glorify God. That's hard for us to learn. You know why? Because we live in such a society that wants instant results. Isn't that true? It was interesting in my journeys this weekend. Mary Lou and I, we had to do some stuff at the post office for the church and all. And we just grabbed something on a run. So we went to one of the drive-thrus, and nobody was even saying anything for about 30 seconds, right? Now, you know what most people think, right? Hey, I don't have all the time in the world. This is supposed to be quick. What are you doing? This and that. We have no patience these days. And that's bad, because we have to relearn what it is to wait on God. So with that, let's go to prayer. And let's pray for our country. Let's pray for the COVID situation. And let's pray for a peaceful transition of power this week. Father, we come before you humble. We don't have all the answers, Father. You do. We don't see the whole picture, but you do. And Father, though we don't understand sometimes what's happening around us, you call us to continue to be faithful to you. Help us to do that through your word, through your Holy Spirit. And yet, Father, we are going to count on you to reveal any injustice or any truth that needs to be revealed in your time, in your way. Father, help us not to rely on our own understanding. Help us to rely on you. I pray for peace as this country goes through a transition this week. We don't want to see anybody else get hurt or killed. I pray for those in law enforcement. They have a real tough job, Father. Protect them. Watch over them. I pray, Father, that there would not be any people inciting violence. And so, Father, we're just going to hand this over to you and just help us do the right thing here. I also want to pray, Father, for our healthcare workers. Pray that you keep them safe. Pray, Father, that as this vaccine is rolled out and they are the recipients of it, that it works, Father, and they can do their jobs and continue serving without worrying about their own health. But, Father, we want to give them thanks. We need to pray for them each and every day, because many, Father, have even died serving people. And Father, we pray for our military, that they, you keep them healthy. I know there are some hot pockets in each branch of the service. We pray, Father, that they get the care that they need and you restore them back to health. And Father, I want to pray for families today. This has been on my heart all week. Father, families need to be stronger. They need to have parents that love you and follow you and are in your word. They need to have instruction in the house to guide and direct children as to what is the right thing to do in your eyes. And so, Father, we pray to that end that you strengthen families, because when you strengthen families, Father, you will strengthen churches. And when that happens, Father, communities will be strengthened. And so, Father, we ask for that in a special way. And Father, I pray that somehow, some way, in this environment in which we find ourselves, that you would give us an increasing hunger for the word, an increasing desire to be in your presence, an increasing desire to obey by faith. And we pray this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, I'll be in Acts chapter 11 today. If you have your Bibles, you want to follow along. Resolving internal conflict, we're going to concentrate on the church today. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you a couple of true stories, okay? There was a pastor, he was probably into a month of pastoring at this church. They called him, you know, and everything looked good. And he was looking at the platform and seeing where the instruments were. You know, and like every church or most churches, a On one side of the platform, they have a piano. On the other side of the platform is an organ, okay? And the pastor thought it would be good to have the piano player by the organ for better communication, you know, for the so the music would flow better and all. So one day he got a bunch of guys together and they moved the piano from one side of the platform to the other. Well, when the people came in that Sunday, he thought he was going to get lynched. This is a true story. Believe it or not, this is a true story. We don't like the piano there. It's always been over there. Yes, yeah, so? And I mean, it was an uproar. So he graciously stepped back and they moved the piano back. And over the next 5 years, what do you think happened? It slowly moved to the other side until it was where it ought to be. This is a true story. The fact of the matter is a lot of people don't like change. When we get so ingrained in something, we think it's the only way or the right way. Let me give you one more example. There was a church that I knew of. They were looking for a pastor. This is going back many years ago. And they called a good man from Texas. Now, in Texas, they dress a little differently than we do. Sunday, first Sunday he comes up, he's wearing cowboy boots. They fired him. Okay? You may shake your head at this stuff. This is true. And none of this should be. None of this should be. You know, we have our own preferences. We have our own likes. But when we put our own preferences and likes above what God is doing, then we're in trouble. And that's what causes church splits. I think it was Warren Wiersbe or Robert Cook. I can't remember which one it was when they were pastoring a church. They were in a board meeting, and they were discussing some topics. And a man stood up and started coming over to, I think it was Dr. Wiersbe. And he thought he was going to come and tell him something. Instead, during the meeting, gave him a right hook to the chin over a stupid issue. Churches have split over the color of the rug. They have split over people coming in that have tattoos. They have split over the translation of the Bible. And I mean, we can go on, and God has to look from heaven and grieve. He has to look from heaven and grieve. And yet we care more about our own personal preferences sometimes than people out there who need to know Jesus Christ. So Paul is addressing an issue like this, and I want you to see, Luke records this for us. Let me frame this out. Peter had just gone to the house of Cornelius. Remember, Peter had the vision that God declared all things clean as far as food goes. And this was God's way of opening the gospel to the Gentiles. And Cornelius, a Gentile, invited Peter to his house, and Peter responded. That was a major scandal. Jews would have nothing to do with Gentiles. Major scandal. So back in Jerusalem, word got around. People started grumbling. How could this be? You know, a Gentile can't come to the Lord. By the way, the Jews back then looked at Gentiles not as people, but as dogs. Okay? So they decided that when Peter came back, they were going to call him on the carpet. Can you imagine? People are getting saved, and they want to chew Peter out? Boy, I've seen this too many times. Let's look at this. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word. That word "received" in the original language means they heard it and they accepted it. You can hear something but not accept it. True. But in this case, they heard it and accepted it. This was a true conversion. This was all of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. The circumcised believers were Jewish believers, right? We would call them today people who tend to be legalistic. They would say you have to be circumcised first and then believe. And that's an argument that had gone on in the early church. And here they were. You can picture people like this. They have their clipboards, right? I don't like this. I don't like this. This should never be. And it's all based on personal preference and prejudice and pride. It's all it's based on. So when Peter came up to Jerusalem to circumcise believers, the legalist criticized him and said, "You went into the house of an uncircumcised or Gentile man and ate with them." Charge number one, right? No good Jew would do that. In fact, they're saying now no good Christian would do that. Peter had a choice here. You know how impetuous Peter could be, right? He had a choice. Either he could shoot from the hip, or he can stay calm and respond in a way that glorifies God. Let me tell you about a similar incident that happened that I was aware of. There was an incident where a pastor got a call, and this is a true story also, that I got a call from a man's wife saying that he had been dry. He was a recovering alcoholic. He'd been dry for 6 months. Something happened, and he decided he was going to go to a bar and start drinking again. So the wife called the pastor and said, "Would you go? He's at this bar. Would you go talk to him?" And the pastor says, "Sure." So he goes and he parked his car. He goes into the bar. Someone from the church was passing by. Immediately, this person called one of the elders and said, "You know, Pastor so-and-so is going into a bar. This should never be." And the elder, great man, I know him, by the way, the elder did the right thing. He said, "Do you know his side of the story?" "Well, no." "Well, then you have no right calling me." So he had a meeting between this lady and the pastor. And all he did was calmly tell the truth. And the elder said to the lady, you were gossiping and you owe this man an apology." The pastor went in and convinced the man to leave with him and started working with the man again. You see, sometimes we don't know the whole story. Sometimes God is doing something. We don't even realize that God's at work. Here's how Peter responded. And this is a great lesson for us. Starting from beginning, Peter told them not half of the story, but the whole story. So he repeats this. He says, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.'" This was God declaring all food clean. "I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean,'" modern word for that, by the way, is kosher, okay? "'Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times." Think we're thick-headed, right? "Happened three times, and then it was pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea," which is where Cornelius is, "stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them." These were three Gentiles telling Peter that Cornelius had a vision to have Peter go to Cornelius's house and share with him and his family. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. Scandal number two. Okay? Here we go. These six brothers, Peter took six believers with him. In the court of law back then, if you had seven witnesses to the same event, they were deemed credible witnesses. Seven witnesses, okay? And so I don't think this was by accident. You know, as Peter's explaining this, he says, look, I'm telling you the truth, and this would stand up in any court of law. And the six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send a Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message which you and all your household, through which you and all your household will be saved. God was up to something. Just like he was in that bar. Just as he was when they called that pastor from Texas. Just as he was when the pastor wanted to move the piano from there to there. How quick we rush to judgment. But isn't that the nature of things today? How quickly we rush to judgment. We don't take time to hear the other side anymore. Peter continues, he says, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and he had come on us at the beginning, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remember what the Lord said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So if God gave them the same gift, the same Spirit, he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? Yeah, you should underline that. Who was I to think that I should stand in God's way? I use this example often because it's true. You remember in the 60s when out of the hippie movement grew the Jesus movement? Remember that? And churches wouldn't even let these people who were getting saved in because they looked different. They had long hair. They smelled different. I wonder if we'd let Jesus in today. The Apostle Paul. See, God was doing something new, something exciting. And we could miss it when we choose to ignore the other side of the story. Who was I to think that I could stand in God's way? You know, some of us, I think, keep a mental ledger of who we think deserves to be saved and who doesn't. It's none of our business. Our business is to be faithful and share the gospel with others, because the person we may write off, God is not writing off. Well, he looks different. He has different ideas and different beliefs. Yeah, so what? The God I know broke through my heart, and he's able to break through the heart of others. Who am I to stand in God's way? When they heard this, there were no further objections. And praise God, saying, So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. There was no shouting back and forth. There was none of that. They took time, to their credit, to listen to the other side of the story. And then when they heard what God was doing, it was settled. It was settled. And now the Gentiles are being welcomed into the family of God. Wow. God grants repentance that leads to life. Listen, don't write anybody off. If they look different, if they feel, if they believe different things, don't write anybody off. you never know. I am so grateful that in my life there were people who didn't give up on me. I'm so grateful for that. Now, they didn't badger me, but they loved me. And they took me as far as I would go. And they knew enough to step back and let it simmer for a while. And then God would lead me to ask more questions, you see. Every one of us has a different conversion story. Some are radical, some are gradual. Most are a process. And please, this is where there should be no room for prejudice in the kingdom of God. There should be no room for our pride. There should be no room for any of this stuff that would stand in God's way. One of the great courses I took when I was in the master's program for my master's of divinity was a church history course. And it focused on history of the early church right through, back then it was the 1980s. I'm old, okay? And I have a book at home of reproduced documents during the Civil War from pastors from both the North and the South, evangelical pastors. And when you read some of these things, listen, slavery's wrong, there's no question about it. But when you read some of these letters, you realize that both pastors loved God, and they were wrestling with the same issue. And you know, when I read that Ulysses S. Grant and Robert E. Lee, after the war, worshiped together in a church, that's God. That's God. Who am I to get in the way of God? We really need to be careful. We really need to understand this. I really thought today I think of this, but there's so much to do on a Sunday. I was going to try to rearrange the chairs just to see how many people would mess up, right? Well, I always sit here. Okay, so? You know, well, we always did it like this. Yeah, so? In one of the churches I interned in, the church had pews, and in fact, I helped plant the church. And we had a program where a family or a couple can buy their own pew. So for whatever it was, like $100 or $125, back in the early 80s, that was a lot of money, right? Still is, I think, but a lot of money. So when they bought their pew, their name was on the side of the pew. Big mistake. Big mistake. There was this one dear couple who paid for a pew, and they sat there every week. And now they came into service one Sunday morning, and another visiting couple was sitting where they usually sit in that pew. The rest of the pew was vacant. But the husband went over and said, "I'm sorry, you'll have to move. This is my seat." And I'm going, "Oh, no, this is not what it's supposed to be like." What we should have said was, "I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here." Wow. How fickle we can be. How selfish we can be. You never know. I always tell people, I know we're in the COVID situation right now, but I always say people, when people show up at church for whatever reason, it's a divine appointment. It's divine. It's a divine appointment. God wants them here for some reason. And it's up to us to embrace them. It's up to us to help, just to point them to the grace of God. I can't save anybody. You can't either. But we can point them to the gospel and the grace of God, and then let God and the Holy Spirit and the Word do their work. Who am I to stand in the way of what God's doing? This is the way to handle internal conflict. You know, you don't like, you know, how the church is lit. You know, I mean, I've had people come in here from traditional churches, and, you know, they'll say to me, gee, I like the service, but I don't like a storefront. Okay. Well, that's personal preference. You know, I've had people come in and they say, gee, this is neat. It's a storefront. Okay. Well, that's good, too. But I'm not concerned about what we look like. I'm concerned that Jesus is here. That's what I'm concerned about. Yeah, we get so hung up on these things. We get so hung up on these things. So next week I'm going to wear cowboy boots. I'm going to put the drums over there and the keyboard over there. Sharon probably kill me. No. Yes, you know. I'm only kidding. But listen, we have to listen to these things because the inner conflict in the church is a bad testimony to a dying world. Because then we become no different than the world out there. Amen? Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask Kristen to come back up, if she would. And if she comes back up, we're going to cue up the last song. If there's nothing that you learned today, please know this. God's grace, he will give grace to whoever he chooses. Whether we like them or not, he will give grace to whoever he chooses. He will save whoever he chooses. It's not up to us. Our responsibility is to point people to God's grace, to the cross, to the salvation that's available by faith alone in Jesus Christ. And then we rejoice and sing about God's amazing grace. Can you do that? We ready, Em? Okay, she's queuing it up. In the meantime, why don't you stand? We'll take a deep breath. And she'll be up in a sec. So Kristen's going to sing a solo. Without music. She does. She does a marvelous job. Yeah. Amen. Raise the roof, people. God's grace is awesome. Amen. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you send us from this place, being blessed through the presence of Christ, the ministry of the word, the ministry of song, ministry of prayer, and help us as we go into the world to be salt and light for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us to love people. Help us to point them to the grace of Jesus. And we pray this in his name. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, we got an amen outside. Thank you all for coming. Men, I'll see you Tuesday night. You're all a blessing. So thank you. Have a great day.